Scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing an issue today that I believe should be germane in the thinking, the thought of every Christian in particular. Many Christians today will embrace the Jehovah's Witness cult and believe that, well, there's still Christians, they're going to heaven, they love Jesus, and they're very faithful, and as a result of that, we need to just say okay, not worry about it. But ladies and gentlemen, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that only 144,000 of the Jehovah's Witnesses since the time of Jesus will ever go to heaven. That will be, as they go to heaven, the 144,000, it's believed that they'll be co-rulers with the Lord Jesus over the inhabitants of paradise that will be on earth, because the position of the Jehovah's Witnesses is that they will have 144,000 that will have paradise in heaven, or that will rule in heaven, and the balance of the almost 2 million will be ruling on earth. Now, there's no place in Scripture that will validate that. There's nothing that will do so in the context of the Scripture in its literal interpretation. But we need to recognize that they are a cult, and they're believing in what the founder said and not what the Bible says. Dr. Davis, you've heard me say 1,000 times that it's context, 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 context that we need to look at when we're looking at a text. Why is that so relevant? Why is that so important when we speak about the 144,000? What's the context of that 144,000 in the Scripture?
Well, we want to make sure, Dr. Youngblood, that we know where we fit in in the plan of salvation. We're not in the 144,000. Now, I've heard some connect, I'm talking about the New Testament church, to the great number in Revelation that couldn't be numbered. I'm not sure if you could fit that into that particular text, even though I know God has a plan, again, to save whom he will. Now, we have to understand that we don't need to imitate or get ourselves caught up into the same position as some of these other cults and religions in the world by mixing ideas and speculation with the Scripture. Because actually what we're doing, we're taking, and I say that this is my view on it, you take the power out of the Scripture be able to do anything for you in your life. So, by doing that, and this is what Charles Taze Russell did when he formed the Jehovah's Witness, came from a Bible study called the Millennial Dawn Bible Study back in the early 19th century, and then it went on down to a guy named Joseph Franklin Rutherford that took over, and they kept drawing from the Scripture and adding certain things in there and, let's say, discarding proper Bible doctrine. So this is where they are at today. Now, we have to understand the reason why you say context, and I hope everybody will get this. It's so important to keep it in the proper context, because you end up trying to draw something away from the Scripture that's not there.
Yes. And it's not going to benefit you. And what you're saying and what I referred to the context of Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, and in fact all of Revelation, is dealing with prophetic text. It's dealing with future tense.
Yes.
You can't take a future tense text and apply in the present tense and say that it's talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. That's the major fallacy right there. They're misinterpreting the scripture because they're taking future tense. Listen, this that we see in Revelation is after the tribulation, after the rapture of the church, during the tribulation, and it's during the time that the wrath of God, the word wrath is the word thumos, white hot anger of God being poured out on a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. And those that are on the earth primarily during the reign of the Antichrist in the 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist will try to crush the Jewish people, destroying them. In fact, you can look at Revelation chapter 12 and understand the reason that Satan hates Israel and the reason Israel is facing, the Jewish people facing the battle today, is because it's out of Israel that we got Jesus Christ. He was birthed out of the Jewish people.
But even the book of Revelation gives clear knowledge of who the church is, because Revelation 12 and 17 says that these, in other words, let me just paraphrase it, are the true people that are the church of God today. Those that keep the word of God and those that honor his commandments. There's no way that you can, let me just go to that. Let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying. Revelation 12 and 17. Got it marked right here in my Bible. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have, that's the second part, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the church. That's the real church.
And the real church, if I could jump in also, the real church, as you see in the book of Revelation, is in the early portion, chapter 2 and chapter 3, where Jesus is sending a letter, if you please, to the seven churches of Asia Minor of that day. And some of the letters were letters of condemnation, and some of the letters addressed were letters of commendation for what they're doing. And so we don't see the church anymore, literally the church as we know it today, anymore after Revelation chapter 4, because the church has been raptured.
Amen.
We're in glory. Amen. With the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you take the Jehovah's Witnesses and say that is in the future tense text, i.e. in Revelation 7 and 14, and try to make it applicable today, simply does not wash theologically, doctrinally, or biblically.
Here's one experience I want to share with you.
All right.
That I had. When I had a conversation with a couple of them, and sometimes I let them talk, and sometimes the white hot anger of God boils up within me, because I know that it's just lies that they don't really know who they're talking to a part of the time, because I don't walk around telling everybody I'm a minister, I'm saved. I don't think I have to put a sign on my shirt or carry a sign when I'm walking around telling anybody I'm saved. You're going to see the fruit in my life. If you be around me long enough, the fruit is going to show up. But here's what a couple of them told me one time about 144,000, since we're talking about that today. They said, well, you know, there's only 144,000 going to heaven, and they're already there. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't know. They shouldn't have told the country boy that. I said, really? I said, okay, so you're telling me that there's only going to be 144,000 people out of the whole world that's going to be saved. You say that they're going to be saved, but then you turn around and say that they're already there. So, okay, now, you're out here witnessing, so you say, and working in the field today. You're ministering, you're preaching the gospel, and that's what a young man told me one time, that he was just came out of the field preaching the gospel, and Dr. Youngblood, he went home and opened his refrigerator and popped him a can of beer and sat down and started having him a beer. Mm-hmm. Or sitting on his couch, but he just got finished preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. But getting back to what I was told, the encounter with these people, I said, so since you told me the 144,000 are already there, where do you fit in? Mm-hmm. How are you going to get there?
Well, that's the whole point. They won't.
And it locked them up.
After the 144,000, all of the other Jehovah's Witnesses, after the 144,000, will simply be left here on earth to have, quote, heaven on earth.
My God.
That's simply contrary to the scripture. By the way, saying that, it brings to my recollection that the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. They reject his deity. Dr. Phelps?
Yes, sir. I was talking with some people who represent the Jehovah's Witness Assembly, and one of the men said that he believed that Jesus was a brother of Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Now, that means to me that he, and like a lot of the other cults, have a false idea of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. They do not know the Lord.
Amen.
And that is the whole point that discovers, if you're talking with, ladies and gentlemen, if you're talking with anybody, any cult, any denomination, doesn't make any difference where or which one, ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? Yeah. If he is anything less than divine, if he's anything less than God, if he's anything less than a full deity, that is a false cult or a false denomination. Never will forget, had the opportunity to have a dialogue with a young lady that was Jehovah's Witness, and I asked the question, who is Jesus? And she said, he was a good man, he was a good teacher. I said, is he God? Oh, no, he is not God. He's simply mirroring God. He is like you and your son have the same image. He was just the image of God, but he was not God. I said, let me read something. I had my New Testament with me, and I read Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Amen.
I said, what do you do with that? And she was standing in, at that time, Sears and Roebuck's store, and she said, she was one of the people that worked there. She said, I've got some customers. I'm busy. I've got to go. She didn't have any conversation.
Amen. Fire your good heart.
That's right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that some shy away from, think that somehow, some way we might offend somebody, that we might say some things that might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, we need to know how to identify what is real and what is phony, what is false. So, Dr. Phelps, as we talk about this, who are the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14? It talks about in chapter 7 where they are designated of God to serve. Revelation 7:2, read that for us. Revelation 7:2.
Revelation chapter 7, verse 2 reads, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Amen.
So the 144,000 it names after in chapter 7, verse 3, 4, and following, it lists the seven tribes of Israel.
12.
The 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12,000 from each one. It's in chapter 7, but it's the 12 tribes of each one. And I make a note in my little, I like to outline things. So when you outline, who are the 144,000? You see, number one, they're designated of God to serve, having the seal of the living God. Dr. Phelps, explain to us, what does it mean that they have the seal of the living God? What is a seal? What does it connote? What is the purpose of it? And why do we find that here in this text about the 144,000?
There are places in the Scripture where God talks about sealing. And one of those places is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I would like to read those two verses. And here we believe that it talks about those who are saved as a result of hearing the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession.
Amen.
Unto the praise of his glory. A key word in that is in chapter 14, where it says it's the earnest. We believe that after hearing the word of God, the glorious gospel of Christ, the people at Ephesus and people even today believe on Christ and are saved by grace through faith in God's Son and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that word sealed means that believers are made secure in Christ.
Amen.
I'd like for us to consider what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's a sign of ownership. To be sealed is a sign of ownership. We're bought with a price.
Yes.
We belong to Him. We are His purchased possession. And I need, and we need to remember that. We belong to God. And also, it shows our relationship to the Lord. The Spirit's presence sanctifies us in Christ. Being in Christ, we are now saints. We are His church. We're the habitation of God through the Spirit. So this not only ownership and relationship, but it's guaranteeship to signify a transaction. We believe the word that we read here in Ephesians 1:14, that there's an earnest involved. The sealing means that God has placed in us, or God has placed His seal upon us. It's like the earnest when we buy a home or buy some property. If you've ever had that experience, you know that earnest money is placed, or like a down payment. It guarantees that we're going to fulfill that transaction. We're going to do the complete transaction. We're not going to just stop in the middle of it. Likewise, God will complete the work of salvation in us. I read in Book of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe that means that from the time that we're converted, it's called regeneration, until the rapture, until the resurrection, God's not going to quit. He's going to complete the work.
Absolutely. So when we look at this with the 144,000 that's sealed, that is the designation that they are owned and protected by Holy God.
Amen.
So it brings me to another question that I think we need to analyze in the time that we have before us. So the question is, if they are sealed, and they are, it is sealed for their protection so that nothing could hurt them, harm them, destroy them, to assure that the gospel would go forth. Dr. Phelps?
One further note on that. That word sealed means to provide guardianship.
Guardianship.
To give us a sign of security. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we're kept by the power of God unto salvation. As believing Christians, we know that we have a divine security team at work. Mm-hmm. The Father purposed our salvation, and He sent His Son to be our Savior. The Son purchased our salvation, and He shed His precious blood to do that. The Spirit preserves our salvation, for He seals every believer.
Amen.
Absolutely. So Amen. Here's the picture, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the 144,000. 144,000 are Jewish, single Jewish young men that God has sealed to preach the gospel in the days of the tribulation. And by the way, time won't allow us to go into the details of reading the scripture in chapter 7 or chapter 14 of the mega millions that will say yes to Jesus Christ as a result of it. And again, I must impress you with the fact that it's during the days of the tribulation when the Antichrist is in control, where you have, with the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, listen, that the individuals had to have the seal in the head or the hand indicating ownership and a relationship to the Antichrist. So also, God says, if you will, that My servants are going to be sealed, identifying them as servants of God and protected by Holy God.
Amen.
During the days of the tribulation. So, Dr. Davis, if I say that these 144,000, they're designated to serve the Lord, having the seal of God, they're also dedicated to serve the Lord. According to Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 and 5, it says, and they follow Jesus wherever they go, preaching the gospel. Follow Jesus wheresoever they go. Speak to that as to what is happening in the text that is before us and the application for today.
Well, about the young blood, basically, it's already explained itself. These people gave total allegiance to the Lamb of God, mm-hmm. because going back to what I said earlier, the blood goes on prevailing and it never stops.
That's right.
Now, for us today, we sometimes look at that as once saved, always saved. But let's make sure we understand that in context, because once saved, always saved, always means once a follower, you continue to follow. Mm-hmm. Once a believer, you continue to believe.
Absolutely.
And if I you can accept Christ's offer of salvation, but you can also reject it.
You said the whole point, once saved, always saved. Notice it's once saved, always saved.
Amen.
And there are a lot of folks that have problems with that.
That's right.
There are a lot of folks today that's confused whether they're saved or not. And this is the whole point with Jehovah's Witness and other cults, where they believe that they're going to heaven because of some writing or some mythology that someone has taught them that they're clinging to. And so when I look at the text and understand with these 144,000 male, virgin, Jewish evangelists, and I emphasize the fact, as our caller pointed out earlier, they are Jewish evangelists. They are already saved. God has selected them, chosen them, sealed them, and sent them into the fields of harvest during the days of the tribulation. Now, I again mentioned to our listeners, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, that we won't be here. We will have already been raptured out. But on the world plane, as we see the biblical text, according to the book of the Revelation, there will be major, major, major decimation of the Jewish people. Satan's tool, the Antichrist, will be focused at the Jewish people to try to eradicate, eviscerate, and totally destroy the Jewish people.
Amen.
So God takes 144,000 that said yes to him. He uses them as his instruments, just as today when we get saved, God wants to use us to be dedicated in serving and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the whole point. That's the purpose. But we go back to the fact that in context, the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, 100% deceived, when they believe that this text refers to the Jehovah's Witnesses and the ones that will be in heaven.
And here's another something else about that seal, you know, of God that we need to understand. The seal is also called the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, when we go to Romans chapter 8, and here's what I marked in my Bible, Romans 8 and 23. He said, this is what Paul said, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So it goes back to what Dr. Phelps said. God has already made a down payment to redeem us one day, and that down payment comes in earnest money, the earnest money in the form of the Spirit of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Here's another thing the scripture had to say about the seal. Nevertheless, 2 Timothy 2 and 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That means ownership, Dr. Phelps, what you just got finished saying. God is letting us know that he owns us when he places that seal upon us, as he did 144,000. Then he says, I love the last verse, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So once again, once you've been saved and sealed, you depart from the stuff that you used to do, and you continue to follow the Lamb, getting back with what the scripture says.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, you got a footnote to add to that in the time that we have.
Yes, I would like to speak to that just briefly, if I may. The Jehovah's Witnesses misinterpret the scripture. Whenever God talks about witnesses in the Bible, he's referring to the nation of Israel.
Right.
I go back to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, and I read, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. He's speaking directly to the people of Israel in that chapter. God called the people of Israel to be his special representatives to the heathen nations of the world. And we find that these people of Israel are chosen earthly people, and they have a special relationship with the Lord, for he has set his people apart from the Gentile nations. And whenever God speaks of the people of Israel, he's speaking of a people who are his special earthly people, the earth, the earthly people. The truth is that the church cannot be confused with any other group.
That's right.
Amen.
Neither Israel is to be confused with Jehovah's Witnesses. The truth is that the church is neither the same as Israel, nor does it replace Israel. According to 1 Corinthians 10:32, there are still three distinct groups of people to be considered: Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. Let me read 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Israel Amen. Is God's special earthly people, and I'd see no mention of Jehovah's Witnesses other than the Jews.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that is befuddling to me, if I could use that term, is for this period of time, almost 2,000 years for the church age, and for Jehovah's Witness to think that only 144,000 can go to heaven, that would be a disturbing, distracting, depressing thought. Why would you serve as a Jehovah's Witness if you do not have the assurance of being able to go to heaven? And one of the things that is missing, ladies and gentlemen, is the link that is called the literal interpretation of the Scripture.
Amen.
To recognize that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto him but by Jesus Christ himself, according to John 14:6.
Amen.
And yet the mindset is with the Jehovah's Witnesses that Jesus Christ is not God, he is not deity, he's simply a good man, a good teacher. No wonder they misinterpret, misunderstand, misapply the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the 144,000 male virgin Jewish evangelists are preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're designated by God as having the living seal of God. They're dedicated, serving the Lord. Wherever he goes, they follow, according to the scripture in Revelation 7 and verse for chapter 14. They're delivered. They cannot be harmed, hurt, or destroyed until the gospel is preached. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.